Chapter 2. They had come through the heavy timber to the cup-shaped upper end of the little valley, and he saw where the camp must be, under the rim rock that rose ahead of them through the trees. That was the camp, all right, and it was a good camp. You did not see it at all until you were up to it, and Robert Jordan knew it could not be spotted from the air. Nothing would show from above. It was as well hidden as a bear's den, but it seemed to be a little better guarded. He looked at it carefully as they came up. There was a large cave in the rim rock formation, and beside the opening a man sat with his back against the rock, his legs stretched out on the ground, and his carbine leaning against the rock. He was cutting away on a stick with a knife, and he stared at them as they came up, then went on whittling.
"Hola," said the seated man. "What is this that comes?"
"The old man and a dynamiter," Pablo told him, and lowered the pack inside the entrance to the cave. Anselmo lowered his pack too, and Robert Jordan unslung the rifle and leaned it against the rock.
"Don't leave it so close to the cave,"
the whittling man, who had blue eyes in a dark, good-looking, lazy, gypsy face the color of smoked leather, said.
"There's a fire in there."
"Get up and put it away thyself," Pablo said. "Put it by that tree." The gypsy did not move, but said something unprintable. Then,
"Leave it there. Blow thyself up,"
he said lazily.
"'Twill cure thy diseases."
"What do you make?" Robert Jordan sat down by the gypsy. The gypsy showed him. It was a figure-four trap, and he was whittling the crossbar for it.
"For foxes," he said. "With a log for a deadfall, it breaks their backs."
He grinned at Jordan.
"Like this, see?"
He made a motion of the framework of the trap collapsing, the log falling, then shook his head, drew in his hand, and spread his arms to show the fox with a broken back.
"Very practical," he explained.
"He catches rabbits," Anselmo said. "He is a gypsy, so if he catches rabbits, he says it is foxes. If he catches a fox, he would say it was an elephant."
"And if I catch an elephant?"
the gypsy asked, and showed his white teeth again and winked at Robert Jordan.
"You'd say it was a tank," Anselmo told him.
"I'll get a tank," the gypsy told him. "I will get a tank. And you can say it is what you please."
"Gypsies talk much and kill little," Anselmo told him.
The gypsy winked at Robert Jordan and went on whittling. Pablo had gone in out of sight in the cave. Robert Jordan hoped he had gone for food. He sat on the ground by the gypsy, and the afternoon sunlight came down through the treetops and was warm on his outstretched legs. He could smell food now in the cave, the smell of oil and of onions and of meat frying, and his stomach moved with hunger inside of him.
"We can get a tank," he said to the gypsy. "It is not too difficult."
"With this?"
the gypsy pointed toward the two sacks.
"Yes," Robert Jordan told him. "I will teach you. You make a trap. It is not too difficult."
"You and me?"
"Sure," said Robert Jordan. "Why not?"
"Hey,"
the gypsy said to Anselmo.
"Move those two sacks to where they will be safe, will you? They're valuable."
Anselmo grunted. "I am going for wine," he told Robert Jordan. Robert Jordan got up and lifted the sacks away from the cave entrance and leaned them, one on each side of a tree trunk. He knew what was in them, and he never liked to see them close together.
"Bring a cup for me,"
the gypsy told him. "Is there wine?" Robert Jordan asked, sitting down again by the gypsy.
"Wine? Why not? A whole skinful. Half a skinful, anyway."
"And what to eat?"
"Everything, man," the gypsy said. "We eat like generals."
"And what do gypsies do in the war?" Robert Jordan asked him.
"They keep on being gypsies."
"That's a good job."
"The best," the gypsy said. "How do they call thee?"
"Roberto. And thee?"
"Raphael." "And this of the tank is serious?"
"Surely. Why not?" Anselmo came out of the mouth of the cave with a deep stone basin full of red wine and with his fingers through the handles of three cups. "Look," he said, "they have cups and all." Pablo came out behind them.
"There is food soon," he said. "Do you have tobacco?"
Robert Jordan went over to the packs and, opening one, felt inside an inner pocket and brought out one of the flat boxes of Russian cigarettes he had gotten at Goltz's headquarters. He ran his thumbnail around the edge of the box, and opening the lid, handed them to Pablo, who took half a dozen. Pablo, holding them in one of his huge hands, picked one up and looked at it against the light. They were long, narrow cigarettes with pasteboard cylinders for mouthpieces.
"Much air and little tobacco," he said. "I know these. The other with the rare name had them."
"Kashkin," Robert Jordan said, and offered the cigarettes to the gypsy and Anselmo, who each took one. "Take more," he said, and they each took another. He gave them each four more, they making a double nod with the hand holding the cigarettes, so that the cigarette dipped its end as a man salutes with a sword to thank him.
"Yes," Pablo said, "it was a rare name."
"Here is the wine."
Anselmo dipped a cup out of the bowl and handed it to Robert Jordan, then dipped for himself and the gypsy.
"Is there no wine for me?" Pablo asked.